And just like that, we're back. I just wanted to do some housekeeping real quick before we get into the episode, because we do have a lot to talk about this week. Thank you, first off, for tuning into another episode of The Heralds. Before we get into it, I am one half of your Heralds of Pop Culture today, Harrison.
And I am your other half, Will.
I just want to do some quick housekeeping. We both did. If you listened to last week's episode, thank you. We were very excited to be back and put that out. New year, 1 year being The Heralds. Thank you for listening to us for a year. Yes, very exciting. It's been awesome. I know Will and I have had so much fun talking to you guys this past year.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say real quick, the Spider-Man episode was, after we put it out, we realized we kind of just rambled on about the movie that came out a month ago. And I don't know, Will, if you want to say anything. Like, obviously, we're not, like, upset with how the video came out, because, like, we love talking about comic book stuff, but we know we could have done it better, and we always want to put out the best episodes for you guys. So,
truthfully, I think a lot of it was not fresh in a lot of our heads. It had been a few weeks since we'd seen it, and on top of that, we were tired. I think all of us were feeling it by the end of
tired.
The episode. You can definitely hear the decline throughout the episode.
Totally.
And obviously, we want to do nothing but put out content that not only you guys are happy with, but we want to be happy with it. And to me, it's not as great, even if you guys are, if we're not happy with it.
Yeah, and that's... And the reason that we are actually back and probably will for a while, just Will and I, it's not because of that. It's not that we don't love Asher and Geller. We love having Asher and Geller on the show. They're, like, literally
I'm
our co-host.
I'm legally obligated to say I love Asher.
Easily legally obligated because they're related somehow. But we will bring them back for more events that need extra voices and stuff.
Like the Batman. Exactly. Things like that going on.
Yes. I would love to do a Batman episode in general leading up to the movie, because obviously it's Batman. There's so much to talk about. But this week, just to give you a quick overview, we're going to, of course, do our news. We are the Heralds after all. But then we're going to talk about Hawkeye, which, again, is something that came out a while ago, but it is something that needs to be talked about, because who doesn't want to hear our thoughts about that? And then the big thing, we're going to wrap up 2021.
A few weeks in to 2022.
A few weeks in. Yeah, the first month of every year is so dead for new media.
You know what I'm surprised I haven't done yet?
What?
I haven't messed up writing 2022 on dates.
Me neither.
Seen it well.
I've definitely had to remind myself, but I've been taking notes in class, and I'm like, 2022?
I haven't even had to remind myself. I'm like, hey, look at you.
Yeah.
Just slipping into the new year like it's nothing.
I'm still stuck on 2020, honestly.
Does that even exist? I don't even remember if we had that.
I'm just like, but like, it's crazy to think that like we can say we're almost 2 years into this whole crazy pandemic thing, and I'm still sorry we're not allowed to talk about the pandemic. No, we are.
We can talk about the fact that it exists.
It exists. But it's crazy that it's almost been 2 years. Like, literally, just feels like the world is frozen.
Yeah, and not in the cool Disney way.
Not in the cool Disney way. No,
we need to let it go.
Oh my God. Okay, let's get into the news, shall we?
All right. So this was a big one that kind of threw me through a loop, but almost made me happy. It says Ben Affleck says Matt Damon helped convince him to quit Batman. Nothing cooler than knowing he had a friend who had his back that knew, you're not happy doing this. This is not good for you. And looking out for.
That's, of course, if you don't know this, they are lifelong best friends. I mean, they kind of got into the business together.
Yeah.
Did you
meet Ben Affleck once at an airport?
My parents met both Ben Affleck and Matt Damon at the airport right after Good Will Hunting had come out, which was like their breakout performance together. And since they were so new to it, there wasn't like a crowd of people surrounding them. So my mom was literally just able to sit down next to them and have a conversation with them, and like no one cared.
Pretty cool.
Yes, cool. I know we're upset, you know, because like it stinks with how the DCU is going. Of course, Ben Affleck Batman isn't anyone's favorite, I don't think.
I'm guilty.
He's guilty. I was going to say, I know you kind of liked him a little bit, quite a bit, maybe.
I think he was the most... It sucks that he didn't have time to shine, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt as he was the most accurate at a point, despite the obsessive killing. Excessive, not obsessive.
Yeah, well, both, actually. Obsessive killing. Well, yes. And, yeah. But no, that's good that Matt Damon was the one that told him to step down. And it is for the best. Robert Pattinson, almost a month away, dude.
I know, March 4th.
Yeah, we're getting there. But yeah, that's cool. Month and a half.
So then we have James Gunn has been reported to have begun work on another secret DC TV project. He is hot off the track of the Suicide Squad and the current three episodes they released of Peacemaker, which I've only watched the first. I need to get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Now my question is, thinking about what he's done so far, what would you want him to do?
What would I want him to do?
Not your predictions, then, like, what would you like to see?
Okay. I'm trying to think of, like, what lends itself to a James Gunn style. I am really liking what I'm seeing from Peacemaker so far, so I'm all for him taking on another hero. I don't know. I'm trying to think of villains in my head, but at the same time, maybe a hero. I think he could do, hear me out here, I think he could do a really good, like, you know, like, the D-bag version of Superboy, like, the really stuck-up one?
Oh, leather jacket, Superman suit, glasses from the 90s and 80s.
Uh-huh, I think he could do that really well.
I agree.
Any ideas for you?
I would say if I could see James Gunn doing anything else, DC.
Lobo.
Oh my god, a Lobo series by James Gunn. One, Lobo's already out of hand. He'd continue to take him out of hand. I don't even know if I'd be able to stomach a show like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I couldn't stomach it, that's how you know he's doing the character justice.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Lobo doing really, really well from him. But I would also like to see, what's his name? I'm blanking, and I hate that. A Blue and Gold show.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think he'd be really fun with a Booster Gold and Ted Kord Blue Beetle show.
I was going to say, you definitely do Ted Kord because Jaime Reyes is already getting his time in the sun.
And I can't wait to see Shella Maradona kill that role.
Yes, which we kind of, I don't want to speak spoilers of Peacemaker, but we kind of got hints of Blue Beetle so far. I didn't catch that.
One second, I got the dog food in.
You're good.
Mila,
Central. Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry for the brief interruption. My brother came in with the dog, and she is hyped up. But yes, I think ultimately I would want a Blue and Gold series, and I think Lobo would be amazing for James Gunn to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since you're here, Asher, what would you think about a James Gunn Lobo series?
Oh, hell yeah.
We're talking about how James Gunn has already been reported to be working on another secret DC TV project. We're talking about what we want, and then we're going with the
predictions. If you want a vulgar hero like Peacemaker, Lobo's like the obvious pick. Which, Lobo's really been growing on me. He's one of my favorite characters in DC lately.
Harrison said he'd like Lobo or the douchebag Superboy from the early 90s and 80s.
Oh, yeah. The one with the little
He could also do Grifter pretty well.
No, I don't think he'd do Grifter style that well, personally.
It's not as extravagant as James Gunn is.
Yeah, I was just thinking of his stuff with Super.
Like, I don't think Grifter's stuff is as raunchy as the unloaded James Gunn style is.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Grifter's not a comedic character. I wouldn't want him to do a comedic spin on him.
Someone who's good at heist movies would be good at Grifter.
I said I want Blue and Gold.
What's Blue and Gold?
Booster Gold and Ted Kord's Blue Beetle.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
With James Gunn, that'd be fun.
Maybe. I mean, they'd have to watch the rating, but
I know you guys say this, but then you look at Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Will.
What's up?
Plastic Man.
Were we talking about that?
We were. Ash was talking Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright would know Plastic Man.
That's true, yeah. Or you could just jump to Marvel and do Stiltman.
Do Stiltman. Yeah, Stiltman, let's go.
So what's your prediction? What do you think he's going to do?
The obvious one would be a vigilante spinoff show, which I don't know if I want.
That's not
I know he really loved working with Ratcatcher. I know he really loved working with Ratcatcher in the movie. He said, like, that was his favorite part of making the movie, so I could see him doing a Ratcatcher thing.
Like a prequel thing with Taika Waititi as well?
Yeah.
I could see that, or if it wasn't even related to Suicide Squad, well, it still would be, but I could see him doing like a, what's it called? Law, L-A-W is what it's called?
Yeah.
Lethal Assault Weapon. It takes all the Charlatan Comics characters, like Judo Master, like Peacemaker, I believe, Blue Beetle, Vigilante, the Cowboy Vigilante, and bring them into their own series.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's already started with Judo Master and a couple of others, I could see him having fun with that.
I'd definitely like to talk about Peacemaker at some point. I don't think it needs its own episode, but definitely I'd like to talk about it eventually.
I just need to catch up.
Yes, and yeah. We have finished the first three.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I did not write these actors' names down, but Batgirl adds three new cast members in undisclosed roles. All of them were people I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. We're going to talk about Batgirl, but I know we'll talk about the costume at some point in this episode. I opened it next to my girlfriend, and she was like, what's wrong with it? And I go, it looks like cosplay.
What in the CW did they do for this movie?
I don't know, and I'm happy that they're doing the classic look. I really am, but it just doesn't
look good. Burnside isn't even classic yet, though.
Yeah, Burnside's still new.
Okay, are you a fan of the purple and yellow? Is that what you wanted?
I like the purple and yellow color scheme. You just got to get a better costume material, because the leather don't work.
I'm with him. I like the color scheme. I like how it's a homage to Yvonne Craig's Batgirl in the Adam West series. What I don't like is, yes, she did a biker jacket, but even in the art, it didn't look very leather.
Yeah, but no, it's hard to just illustrate leather in the comic format.
It looks like we're doing like a Ben Affleck Daredevil looking thing.
It does. Like what in the Party City?
Yeah, but if you had to guess, do we know what characters those three actors were playing that you were talking about?
Not a clue. It literally says they're in it, and that's it.
Okay. Because we already have one, don't we? We already have, what's the Hispanic detective that was in Birds of Prey?
Renee Montoya.
Yeah, we already have a Renee Montoya. And we're getting Black Canary maybe in the Batgirl movie, they're saying, from Birds of Prey.
Maybe this one's going to turn into the actual Birds of Prey and not whatever they did with Harley Quinn.
What are you doing?
I'm just chilling.
Okay.
Might as well tune in. Just got off work.
So, yeah, you know how we talked about the CW being sold?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yet they're still doing another show.
Oh, Naomi?
Oh, no, this is just announced new.
Oh, this is just announced. Okay, what is it?
CW sets new series, Justice U, which follows David Ramsey reprising his role as John Diggle, who after years of fighting alongside masked heroes, will be training five new young metas as they embark on an undercover mission as freshmen at a prestigious university. John Diggle will oversee both their education and training on this mission as they become the heroes of tomorrow.
Oh, that sounds...
Hear me out here. Just do Young Justice.
That's not even Young Justice. Just
Gotham High, bro.
Right, but I'm not saying, like scrap that concept altogether. If you want to do a team of young superheroes, just do Young Justice.
Yeah. My thing is just scrap the concept, come up with something else, or just quit. Call it quits.
That just sounds bad.
I was hoping for Diggle to be Green Lantern, but what do I know?
Yeah, they give him the ring, and apparently he says no.
You know what they did? For real? Bro.
What's worse is they set up that his dad's last name is Stewart. He is literally John Stewart.
They've been teasing us with this for God knows how long.
Well, they're making a Green Lantern HBO show.
Yeah, and that one we have confirmed so far. Alan Scott, Kyle Rayner, Guy Gardner.
We're getting Alan Scott in the.
They don't want to touch John Stewart or Hal Jordan. They're kind of doing the other Lanterns.
Mm-hmm. I just want to see John Stewart.
Why wasn't John Stewart allowed in the freaking Justice League movie or the Snyder?
Oh, I know. Because Zack Snyder overextended himself and asked for too much way too late. Even though he had it filmed, they still have to approve this stuff. Yeah. And it wasn't in his initial proposal of doing this. This is something that came way later, so it's like, hey,
but it's so just Warner Brothers being Warner Brothers.
Well, yes. Speaking of new Justice League news.
Oh, God.
Joss Whedon decided to dig himself a deeper grave.
Joss Whedon speaks out.
I didn't know this.
Ray Fisher isn't even a good actor, so imagine what I had to work with. Also, I know that she thought I was being abusive, but English isn't Gal's first language. She just didn't understand me.
Someone should have told him to just shut up.
Both Ray Fisher and Gal Gadot fired back accordingly, and I'm just like, bro. Your career was already over, but, like, you managed to beat a dead horse.
Why does Joss Whedon gotta keep doing this? He's supposed to direct Never Season Frickin' 2.
He's out.
Yeah, I know he's out, but I was holding out a little bit of hope. It hasn't gone, though.
That's actually, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the Snyder Cut a little bit later in this episode because we are talking recap 2021, but we'll get there.
So then for Marvel news, finally, speaking of Joss Whedon's The Nevers, great HBO original series, by the way, if you want to watch it.
I actually have that on my Wish I Would Have Watched TV show list on my 2021 cards.
Alrighty, so Laura Donnelly, who plays Amalia True in the show, has joined Gael Garcia Bernal in Marvel Studios / Disney Plus's Halloween special, Werewolf by Night, as the character Vampire by Night. She is beyond perfect for the role.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I am very excited. Not sure what they're doing with Werewolf by Night himself, because there's a Native American Werewolf by Night, and then there's a white Werewolf by Night. Not a Mexican one.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, they did. I know that you're right. They already casted the guy, so I was, yes.
Yeah, Gael Garcia Bernal, who I mentioned earlier, is playing Werewolf by Night.
Yeah.
So then after that, we got that Moon Knight trailer, baby.
Ooh, we're getting into it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for this.
I'm very excited for this.
Like Marvel's ever done. It's got this psychological thriller feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's about to get as nitty gritty as Daredevil did in Netflix.
Yes, nitty and gritty.
Somehow he looks no different, yet at the same time, Oscar Isaac is unrecognizable.
Yes.
Talk about being an amazing actor.
I was going to say, I didn't even know the Bacon was in this movie, or show, sorry.
Bacon?
Yeah, I thought that was Kevin Bacon.
That's Ethan Hawke.
Oh, Ethan Hawke. Okay, I didn't know Ethan Hawke was in this show.
Yeah, he's going to be the main villain. Dr. Arthur something.
I wasn't like thinking we were going to get really cool visuals from this show, but now after the trailer, I'm starting to think we're going to get some like mind trippy stuff.
Yeah. And I love the supernatural aspect to his suit, like in the design itself.
Yeah. I'm really liking it.
Mummy wrappings.
When we first saw those images, I was like, it kind of looks like you said like mummy wrappings, but now like seeing it in motion and I'm like, no, that looks really cool.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can still make out the white crescent on his chest, too.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get some Egyptian god stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah, we got a sneak peek at Khonshu. You can talk, because I know you're Nancy.
He looks like a specific part in the comic. Like, there was a specific costume in the comics that looks really similar to this, like, the show.
Really?
But it was like a special costume that he used to fight ghosts.
Well, maybe this is what they preferred, to just add texture. In dimension.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm excited for it. I just wish his suit was a little cleaner.
I get that.
I know,
the billionaire personality either, so.
I was going to say, I know Geller really hopes we get Mr. Knight, like the suit look.
Yeah.
That would be cool. But also, that'd be cool for later on. I don't know if that'd be a good, like, starter suit, though. But yeah, it seems like they're making a big change from the original Moon Knight, like, premise, though, with one of his personalities. Was he, like, working in a museum or a gift shop or something?
He works in a museum gift shop.
Yeah, okay, so he's at a museum gift shop. That's actually supposed to be the name of it. I think it was, like, Steven or something. That's actually supposed to be his billionaire personality.
Mm.
But instead, he's working at a museum gift shop and is a really timid dude. Which I'm not mad about, since it kind of breaks him away from everyone's comparisons to him being just Marvel's Batman.
Yeah, does he have a sleep disorder in the comics?
He just has a dissociative identity disorder in the comics. Like, he has, like, multiple personality syndrome and stuff. I don't know if, like, his sleep disorder is probably just, like, that in, like, probably his interpretation of it without being diagnosed.
I was going to say he probably just thinks when he becomes the other personalities, he's, like, dreaming.
Yeah, I hope they do play into his train killer past, though, his March Vector.
But, yeah, it says his one personality, Stephen Grant, is a Wall Street millionaire who funds Moon Knight's crime fighting.
Yeah, which was also was funded by Mark Spector being a hired assassin.
Hmm.
Which is crazy. That's how he came upon the. That's his entire origin story. He was like a hired assassin and then came across the Khonshu thing, got all the Moon Knight stuff.
I thought Mark Spector's like. I thought he dies and then gets like resurrected.
Yeah, that's. He does die and get resurrected. He's resurrected by Khonshu.
Okay.
So that's, like, the whole shtick with that. And then I don't know how he gets the multiple personality syndrome. Not sure if it was something he always had or if it was something that came after his resurrection. But he has three different personalities. The Mark Spector, the Stephen Grant.
Five. Mark Spector, his initial.
In some iterations.
Stephen Grant. Jake Lockley, the cab driver.
Mr.
Knight is a personality in its own. Which is the, he's more of a philanthropist type of role, or psychiatrist, and talks to civilians. And Moon Knight is considered a personality within itself.
I thought Moon Knight was always coincidental with, like, I'm not using that word right, but I thought Moon Knight, it always coincided with the Mark Spector personality.
Moon Knight is its own thing.
Okay.
So I think the things I'm looking forward to is, I can't believe I'm saying this because I normally don't dig this anymore. But the darker aspect of the MCU, to see some of it going into the supernatural aspect, because we've yet to really see that. We'll get more in the Multiverse of Madness, but this is a great start.
I want them to bring back Taskmaster so he can run a helicopter in there, like in the comics.
Or when he goes to Dracula's castle and asks for his money.
I wish that was a comic strip.
This needs to be the most comedic show, but in the way that the comics are.
I was going to say, I'm up for some dark humor in Marvel.
That's what I need. I'm excited for the fight's choreography because it looks sick.
Mm-hmm.
But in sad news connected to this series, Gaspard Ulliel, 37, or 34 years old, right? Or 37. He is going to be playing Anton Mogart, a.k.a. the villain Midnight Man, who's a thief. He recently passed away from a skiing accident in the Alps.
Oh,
wow.
So he'll have this season, and that's about all we'll see.
Hopefully this will end it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Altogether, I'd say this trailer was the perfect way to advertise this show. It didn't give too much of the plot while also giving us enough to look forward to.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'm definitely happy that this is a show, I think, instead of a movie, because, like, there's a lot to explore with this character.
Oh, for sure.
And I just want to appreciate the fact that they did the Disney Plus logo, the drop into the plus, with him jumping from the roof and fading into it.
Yeah.
That was a great moment.
I think this show is going to be very visually nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to get that mind mess.
I know what I'm saying.
Like, that mind-bending.
It needs to make me feel slightly how Matrix or the recent Mr. Miracle comic by Tom King made me feel.
Well, the Jeff Lemire run was a very, like, Mr. Miracle-esque, mind-bending, sort of psychological thriller.
Altogether, I'm excited for March 30th, which is when it premieres. I don't know if this will be one I can watch with the kids, though.
Probably not.
You know?
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, I'm sure Marvel won't break the mold too much, but they're definitely, yeah, I would agree with you. Watch the first episode, and then we'll know.
Yeah. So in Star Wars news, to add to the fact that everyone needs a show, Bo-Katan is getting her own series on Disney+.
Okay. I mean, there's so many other Star Wars things they could do than this, but okay.
In other words, I'm still looking forward to Darth Maul.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you'd... There's I don't know what you do with that character. Fine, whatever. Bo-Katan, sure, I guess.
It's about her trying to revive Mandalore.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could just do that. You could just do that in, like, Mandalorian Season 3.
Yeah, you could. They're just running out of ideas, I think.
Mm-hmm. When's my Cassian Andor show? I need my Cassian Andor show.
Andor's this year?
Oh, I was joking. I don't really want that.
Well, nobody does. So, the Disney news is where it gets weird.
Okay.
It shows the lack of ideas left in Hollywood.
I'm listening.
So we're going to start out by Andrew Burnett has been cast as the lead in a live-action remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Another one.
Interesting thing is, he will not be playing Prince Florian or the Huntsman. And those are the only two male roles in that movie besides the dwarves.
Oh, he's going to be playing Snow White.
He's going to be playing the Evil Queen.
Well, that's Gal Gadot.
Snap.
We have Rachel Zegler as Snow White and Gal Gadot as the Evil Queen.
Dude, yeah. They've remade Snow White too many times.
I agree. Real Steel TV series in development at Disney Plus.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wait, what's headed to Disney Plus?
A Real Steel TV series.
Yo, shut up.
His face.
Yo.
The excitement that just went upon Harrison right now.
Yo, don't Josh me like this. Are you joshing
me? I'm
not. Or are you...
It's an actual thing.
Oh my god. This was so integral to my childhood.
I know, right?
Same here.
It doesn't get talked about enough.
It's so underrated, man.
Didn't they end up winning our best sports movie?
I think it ended up winning our best sports movie.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So then we have the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder.
Wait, is Hugh Jackman going to return for...
just that it's being it's in development. No casting news, no plot news, no timeline news yet. We don't know when it takes place.
Dude, have you seen the kid that played the little kid in that movie? He's like...
He could play one of the robots.
He could play one of the robots now.
I just thought all of them were Marvel actors.
Yeah.
Or future Marvel actors. You had Hugh Jackman, who's already known for Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Dakota Goyo, who was simultaneously playing young Thor. And Evangeline Lilly, who later went on to be Wasp.
And Falcon, Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie's Falcon.
Yeah.
So then they have the Proud Family, Louder and Prouder. Is going to be dropping on Disney Plus February 23rd.
Mm-hmm. I watched the trailer.
I like the Proud Family, Woker and Woker.
No, but, like, it seems like it's more adult. Not, like, fully adult, but, like, more, like, for the people that grew up with the show.
It's just getting woke from what I can read.
Oh, really?
I mean, welcome to 2022, baby.
Go woke or go broke.
So, you know, I said this list is just showing that creativity is dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Santa Claus limited series starring Tim Allen coming to Disney Plus.
Yo, Disney's still associating themselves with Tim Allen?
For a Santa Claus series.
I mean, I'm okay with... I mean, I just know that, like, you know, I honestly thought the whole reason they cast Chris Evans is because they didn't want Tim Allen to be Buzz Lightyear anymore, but because the
apparently
whole
it's
Tim
just
Allen...
because it's not the same thing, but is.
Right. Right, but also just because of how conservative Tim Allen was, I thought Disney was like, and out of here.
I don't think they truly can.
Okay.
He's too beloved. And to wrap up our news, Storm Reid has been cast as the character Riley in HBO's The Last of Us.
Is Storm Reid not an adult film actress? Because that sounds like an adult film actress.
No, she's not. Okay. She played Bloodsport's daughter in the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
And she was in A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
In The Main Chick.
Oh, I was thinking of Wheel of Time, not Wrinkle in Time.
And that's all I got.
And that's all you got.
So why don't you start us off on the actual topic, which is Hawkeye and 2021 wrap-up.
Yeah, let's start with Hawkeye. So we learned from last week that it's not smart to do a play-by-play, so we're not going to do a play-by-play.
I was just thinking we'd do an overall what we liked and what we could have done without.
I'd love to. What I liked.
Sorry.
I love a good festive holiday tale, and I think that the Christmas aspects played really well in the show overall. I think Marvel should try to do more Christmas stuff. I liked it.
When it first came out, Ash and I were arguing if it was a Christmas series or not. Oh. Me on the opposing of no, it's not, but I ended up having to buckle down and agree. The fact that every single song in that soundtrack was a Christmas song, and I had no argument, honestly.
Then, of course, we can just talk about probably the best part of this show, which is Hailee Steinfeld's Kate Bishop.
You said Yelena Belova wrong.
No, she was great. We'll get to her. She was great.
She was fantastic.
As much as I know you guys might argue with me, this was more of a Kate Bishop show than a Hawkeye show. You have to agree with me.
Oh, 100%. I can't disagree.
Okay, and I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. I'm just pointing out a fact.
No, this is about setting up Kate while slowly trying to wrap up Clint's story.
Yes. And I think I really enjoyed what they did with Clint. You know, I enjoyed they explored his deafness, how he's just, like, this dude fighting amongst these, like, amazing, like, godlike people. And
he does not feel godlike like some of these others.
Like, he's got to put ice packs on him after, like, every encounter.
Yeah.
He's getting old.
Once again, I love that this whole series started out with a different perspective on the Battle of New York in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how Kate, a civilian, got to view it.
Yeah.
Really all that shooken up by her father's death. It was just, I need a bow and arrow.
The Matt Fraction-esque intro with the art after that, like, kind of showing Kate Bishop's life. Great.
Oh, every love intro that. Was gorgeous.
Yeah. It was
so
a shame that nothing...
So my life as a weapon was perfect.
Nothing came back from her whole dead dad thing, and her dad is Shrek in Shrek of the Musical, and I was really hoping to see more of him.
That's the same guy?
It's Brian Darcy James.
Wasn't he in 13 Reasons Why, too?
Yeah, he was the dad in 13 Reasons Why.
He looks so different with a goatee.
I know.
I'm like, oh, did Lin-Manuel Miranda get a brother?
Yeah, I'll touch on some small things I liked. I liked Jack Duquesne. Is that how you say it?
Sadly, that's how they said it. It's Jacques Duquesne in the comics. It's French.
I like Swordsman. Swordsman was good.
Yeah.
Especially in that last episode. It was good to see he was just this kind of spoilers. He was just a cool guy.
Well, it's funny because in the comics, he went from villain to hero. And somehow they did that in a matter of 6 episodes.
He was never a villain, though.
But they made him look like a villain. And it was like, hey.
Dude, my favorite part was in the last episode, how he was just having a good time. He was whipping a sword around on those bad guys. Like that.
Man said, my time has come. Let's go. And I was like, are you good, Jack? I'm having the time of my life. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
Swashbuckling little boy over there.
I'm like, he's having the time of his life murdering people, but sure.
trick arrows all around. Love the use of them.
What was your favorite trick arrow?
Ooh, that's a good one.
They use so many in that final fight. The pin part, they used the pin particle ones like 2 or 3 times. Those were fun.
Yes.
That was really fun. I'm trying to think of like there was like some dumb ones I liked. Like, you know, like why would they serve a point? Like the plunger arrows and the acid or the putty arrows.
I love that it wasn't just why did they serve a point, but they went and showed why they served a point after getting called stupid in the show.
Yeah. Boomerang arrows.
Show the point of these. Oh.
They make a joke about boomerang arrows, and that there's a moment with boomerang arrows in the comics. I wish they would have brought in boomerang arrows. You know, because they're like, why would I make one? It'd come back.
My favorite was the rocket arrow that flung the guy into heaven. Like,
yeah, yeah. There was one that just, like, froze that guy's
leg.
Shot
it. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it was like a rocket from his leg, and he just got off screen, he's gone. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Will?
My favorite was when they were doing the car chase to the Christmas song, and he shot the one at the van that pulled in all the Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Imagine that it's like an army of people. Like.
Right?
Yeah. Speaking of the car chase or whatever, overall good comedy, but like something that I didn't like that they Marvelized or just like, the tracksuit Dracula mafias, I didn't like them.
No?
You're not supposed to, I don't think.
I know. It's just, like, until a certain someone shows up in the final few episodes, which we'll talk about, like, the threat didn't feel really real in the show.
I can understand that.
I get that, yeah.
I thought they were funny, and I know in the comics they're not really taken too seriously either.
Yeah. No, yeah, they totally adapted them. Like, I think they were funny.
It was a complete just MCU funny, like, I guess how Geller would word it.
Right, no, because they were like that in the comics, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I see what you mean. There was no stakes, really.
I thought Maya was a cool new character, right?
Maya was pretty epic, considering.
Yeah.
They just needed to not delude her like they did.
Mm-hmm. I'll
agree. She's a trained killer, and I felt like she held all the punches.
Yes. I definitely feel like the action, the action could have been better. Like, there was, like, not, like, a real standout action scene for me. I can't think of one.
There was the chase, but that was more in a cinematography.
Oh, for me, I was going to say it was a one shot
with Yelena, Clint, and Kate.
Yeah, the 360 one shot was dope, wasn't it, Harry?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't notice that until I had to watch it again. I was like, that was really smooth.
It was really well done. I just thought, like, the cinematography on the show was, like, pretty good. It wasn't, like, anything groundbreaking, but there were some really cool uses of it that I really enjoyed.
Do you want to talk about Yelena? Because I know you want to talk about Yelena.
So, for me, bringing in Yelena, as we expected after the Black Widow end credit scene, was great. The only thing I felt they really missed is more involvement from Valentina. She hired her to kill Clint because of Natasha, but yet there's no repercussions to it. And I'm not saying we needed a Yelena-centric story. I'm just saying we needed, around the end, to see how that ended up biting Valentina back. If they're going to make her the central focus like they are with some of these shows.
Probably would have made a better end credit scene than what they had.
Yeah, it would have been a way better end credit scene than Rogers the Musical.
Yeah, we could talk about Rogers the Musical by itself, but
needs a whole episode.
I was going to say, if some, like, 5-minute segment in a show can make me cringe as hard as that did, I think it did its job. But I like the costumes, because overall Phase 4 has been doing very good with the costumes, and we definitely get some comic-looking costumes by the end.
Comic accuracy out the wazoo with these Phase 4 suits.
I was going to say, if you want to talk about a certain someone's outfit they were wearing in the final episode that involves a white suit and a colorful button-up.
Kingpin,
the big Mephisto of this show, and we were right this time.
All the signs pointed towards him. From
knowing
comic knowledge that Maya's related to him. Uncle's hand.
I was going to say, like, I think it was, like, by episode 3 they were starting to drop, like, some heavy hints.
Episode 3 was the Maya-centric episode, and that's when she saw Uncle, and we got to see that big old monster hand of his.
Yeah.
And you kind of heard his little laugh.
That big, sexy Vincent D'Onofrio voice.
Yeah.
There was rumors at first that he was going to be, like, CG and, like, big boy comic accurate, big boy Kingpin, and I'm kind of happy they didn't do that.
I'm hoping they never do at this point.
Yeah, he's perfect on his own. Like,
he is.
I also hope they didn't kill him how the show ends.
In the comics, he gets shot like that and goes blind for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't die.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting an Echo show, apparently, so I'm sure he'll play a part.
With the Daredevil writers, no less.
With the Daredevil writers. I thought he was great overall. Like, he was literally just felt like he jumped from the Daredevil show to this. Yeah. I hear, like, the reason that he's not in power anymore, like, as much as he was in Daredevil, is because the snap messed everything up, because he was snapped, mm-hmm. I think. So, yeah.
No, it's not so much he was, but everyone else was. So he really had nothing left to run. That's how he got out of prison, too.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. What else?
My thing that I didn't really dig was Eleanor Bishop.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, if they made her Madame Mask, would that have made you happy?
No, I don't think there's anything they can do with her character, the way they set her up,
mm-hmm.
that would have been good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I guess it was a good lesson for Kate Bishop's character. I don't know. It was part of her character arc. The whole time we thought it was, like, Jack was the villain and, like, Eleanor was, like, whatever, but then it was, like, flipped, and then it was, like, Eleanor was the schemer.
Yeah, but what's the lesson? Don't trust family?
I don't know. I guess it's just so Kate's on her own now. I don't know.
Yeah. But it ends with a couple of great moments. Mm-hmm. Well, throughout the series, we get great moments with Yelena and Kate. I think that was the best chemistry.
I think there was some good apartment. Oh, we forgot to talk about the LARPers.
Oh, Grease!
Yeah, which was kind of their version of doing, like, Hawkeye lives in an apartment and has all these apartment friends, instead he has all these LARPer friends.
Yeah. Then at the same time, he doesn't want to deal with.
Yeah, we got Lucky the pizza dog.
Which was not as much of a star as I expected.
No. And what was I going to say? Yes, I enjoyed what you said, the chemistry moments, but I think one of my best moments was, like, when Hawkeye was kind of teaching Kate Bishop, like, stuff in the apartment, like, they were doing the flicky thing with the trick, with the button.
The Christmas marathon, yes.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite moment from the show overall.
The amount of daiquiris that were made.
Yes.
I think my favorite just ongoing jokes that they had was when Clint was deaf and he repeated everything away after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you should really
that was
take
a good
dog to walk. Yeah,
that was a good scene too. That
what
moment? That moment where he was talking to his son and he couldn't hear him. That was, and Kate was writing it down.
That was heartbreaking. Good, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I liked it. Very human moment for Hawkeye.
Oh, they humanized Hawkeye really well.
Yeah. It showed him dealing with the fact that he lost Natasha, which was very good. I'm glad they didn't oversight that. And also with the Ronin fallout, it shows what doing something like that does. We got Mockingbird at the end, kind of.
Yes, Agent 37, was it?
Something like that.
Agent 19. And that would be his wife, which is nice to know he technically did marry Mockingbird.
Does he do that in the comics?
But also supposed to show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. truly is not canon.
Because there's a Mockingbird in that show.
She is a recurring character for at least 2 seasons.
Okay.
And it is Bobby Morse Mockingbird.
But yeah, definitely not like my favorite of the Marvel shows this year, but it was a good, I would put it like with Falcon the Winter Soldier, I guess.
For me, it was number 2.
Okay, yeah.
Loki still tops it.
That's fair. A lot of people like that show. That's fair.
But all around, I would give it a 8 out of 10.
I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
7, you said?
7.
Alrighty. So, that's our thoughts on Hawkeye, and I feel like we did better than just recapping everything.
We did. We hit the highlights and the low points.
But with that said, let's get into our main topic as you kick it off.
Yep. Do we want to just go right for the throat and just talk about top 5 movies of 2021?
So 2021 was quite the year for film and television all around.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to discuss those highs and lows. But we're going to start off on the highs with our 5 favorite films of 2021.
Do you want me to start?
Yes, I do.
Do you want me to just say number 5 or just go through my 5?
Yeah,
five,
go 5 to 1.
Okay, do you want to go back and forth, or do you just want me to go first?
We can go back and forth.
Okay, so for my number 5, it is actually a tie, and that's the same case for the first 2. So 5 and 4 are both going to be ties for me.
Okay.
But number 5, the first one is Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Nice.
Yeah. It was very, it was the Force Awakens of Ghostbusters movies, if you would.
But way better executed.
Yeah, I left the theater feeling the same, you know, like, and since I'm more of a Star Wars fan, I was more excited, but, like, as a Ghostbusters fan, I'm like, that treated the original with respect, it was a good, yeah, it was, like, it was a good Ghostbusters for this generation. I don't think it made any mistakes, really. I think it had a lot of fun. The nostalgia was hitting the right parts. And then tied right next to that, I was going to say, like, very different, but not really, because they both deal with ghosts and monsters of some kind. But tied at number five is Malignant.
Oh, the James Wan film.
The James Wan horror film that came straight to HBO Max, but also theaters. I watched it in HBO Max because, like, with horror movies, I'm like, I don't have to go to the theater.
I totally understand that.
Yeah, and I didn't think much of it. Besides, I was like, well, new James Wan horror movie. Conjuring are, like, the thing that got me into horror movies, so I have to watch it.
Yeah.
And it was really great. It really was. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but, like the first
no,
half...
No, it's a horror movie. I have not seen it.
That's fair. Like, the first half, I won't get into spoilers, but, like, the first half is very, like, stereotypical, like, where's this going? I've seen this 100 times. But then it takes this twist at the end, like, second half, that just puts it up on another level for me. So, maybe, yeah, you know what, yeah, favorite horror movie of 2021, definitely. So, Ghostbusters and Malignant are my number five spot for best movies of 2021.
So, I also have a tie for number five.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, and they're so polar opposites.
Okay.
That would be 8-Bit Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And The Suicide Squad.
That is, yeah. Yeah, that, they're a bit different, you know?
8-Bit Christmas did a great job at telling a Christmas story that felt both familiar and new, all at the same time while balancing comedy like it was nothing. The comedy in that movie is superb. The characters are very easy to fall in love with. And the kid actors are honestly great actors in this.
This is the same people that made Elf, right?
Same studio.
Same studio, not Favreau.
Correct.
Okay.
But with this, you have, you know, Neil Patrick Harris pulling a Princess Bride and narrating the story throughout. And you really get to learn this, him. It's about him when he was younger wanting a Nintendo system.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite thing is, things did not end like you would have expected. Spoilers, but he did not get the Nintendo by the end of the movie.
Oh, no.
Instead, his dad built him a treehouse, and he later, from work, saved up money and got the Nintendo eventually.
Hmm, okay. I like
so
that.
So it wasn't like the kid gets what he wants in the end, because that's not always reality.
Yeah,
and they
right.
did great at showing that. The Suicide Squad, however, did a great job at bringing comic books to life. Their wacky, zany side, their incredibly brutal side, their great story, and even just the visuals. It was just such a fun movie to experience in theaters.
It was. It was
and
very
I'd watch it a few more times over.
Okay. Number four, once again, for me, is a tie. It's a tie between Red Notice and Shang-Chi.
Ooh.
Red Notice, I was going to say it only deserves this spot because of its trio of cast members. Because, you know, when Gal Gadot, Dwayne Johnson, and Ryan Reynolds are all sharing screen, there's so much charisma, like, the TV's exploding.
Yeah.
But it was a fun heist movie. It has a really good twist at the end. It's, like, the highest-watched Netflix movie now of, like, all time, but, like, every Netflix movie that comes out becomes, like, the highest-watched Netflix movie of all time. But I had fun with it. I didn't expect much of it, but I watched it, and I was like, I could do another one of those.
I think I was the opposite on that movie.
Okay.
I'm not big on Gal Gadot's acting at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She's not my cup of tea type of thing.
Yeah, no, I'm same with that with Ryan Reynolds almost, because I'm just like, he plays Deadpool and everything, but I've accepted it.
Whereas, I feel like Dwayne Johnson and Ryan Reynolds both do the same thing. They play themselves in every movie. Mm-hmm. I just feel like Ryan Reynolds is more enjoyable to watch when he does that.
Totally.
The twist for me was not unexpected. I caught halfway through the movie they were together.
Seriously, I did not.
Oh, yeah, we were watching. I'm like, he's with the chick. He's either working with her or he's with her. The only twist for me is that they were married instead of just dating.
No, you're smarter than me. You got me there. And then Shang-Chi, there's a few things. I thought he's a Simone Lee. There we go.
What?
Simone Lee?
Simu Liu.
I'm not going to say that. I think he fit into the Marvel mold perfectly, and that's not a bad thing. I think he just, I can totally see him for the next 10 years as this character. I loved Awkwafina as his friend, and I hope they just keep them friends, because that's cool.
That's what Simu Liu and Awkwafina both want, is to keep them as friends.
Cool. You know, because guys and girls can just be friends.
Yep.
I thought, of course, we're going to talk about the action forever. The action was great. You know, we were saying it going into the movie. We were like, the action has to be great in this movie. It has to be great because he's the best martial artist in the MCU, and it really shows. Wenwu might be one of my favorite Marvel villains now, because he wasn't really a villain. He was just a dad. And sometimes dads are the best villains.
Yes. But not ours. We both love ours.
Our dads are dads of the year every year.
Yep.
But yeah, and I love the whole, you know, Eastern culture with the whole, just Asian culture idea just in general. And I love how Marvel adapted it. So yeah, that is my two number four best movies of the year. What about you?
My number four ended up being Justice Society World War II.
Okay. I'm halfway through that.
A straight to DVD. Well, streaming at a point. Justice Society movie, which is the first of ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second in this new DC animated universe they're kicking off. And it was just well done from start to finish. I thought the pacing was well. I thought they did the characters beautifully, besides Iris. I'm done with whatever they're trying to do with Iris West.
Yeah.
The voice acting was superb. I think the roster they chose for the Justice Society worked well for the story they were telling. However, I did miss a couple of my personal favorites throughout, such as Wildcat and Dr. Midnight.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to even see Alan Scott on this team.
I get two flashes for the price of one, so I'm not complaining.
Heck yeah. Both really well done.
They were.
And they both mentor each other, which I loved.
Mm-hmm. It was good to see the Superman from the first movie, and at the start at least.
Darren Criss does great in the role.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still need to finish that. I do love World War II style stuff, so I'm only halfway through it right now.
The villain was superb as well.
Oh, okay.
They did great with the Nazi threat and the overall big threat, which ended up being the Atlanteans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Under Nazi control.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and it's neat that they didn't, sorry for the spoiler here, that it wasn't a going back in time situation, but an Earth 2.
I knew that. That they had found
out by
then. Keeping
it fully comic accurate for the retro style they're going for.
Right.
So, yeah. The standout characters for me in that movie were Jay Garrick, Barry Allen, and, surprisingly, Black Canary.
Yeah, I liked the, Our Man was cool, too.
He was. And the sibling Hawkman-Black Canary dynamic is great.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Trevor proposing to Diana consistently
over and over again.
Running gag in that movie.
Yeah.
What do you got for your number three?
My number three is a guilty pleasure of mine. Not like guilty pleasures and it's a bad movie, because I also think it's a good movie. I just had to put it on here because I'm such a big fan. It was a big moment for the Heralds because we had a lot of episodes based around it, but it's Kong vs. Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one for me, and I honestly was just like, I'm going to go into this movie. It's going to be really dumb, but I'm still going to enjoy it either way. And it was dumb, but it was also a good movie.
It was dumb fun.
It was dumb fun, but like I'll talk about a movie on like my didn't like of the year real quick, where Fast and Furious 9, for example, that was bad dumb. That was bad dumb. That wasn't fun dumb. I had fun leaving this movie. I thought the action was great. I thought the human characters for a Godzilla and Kong movie were good. So I have no complaints. It was one of the most fun I had in the theater all year. It was great to see a packed theater for the first time because this was back in March and the theater was packed for me and I had so much fun. Godzilla is a huge character for me. So yeah, that's number three.
And King Kong for me.
And King Kong for you. If
Although
you haven't
not
gone,
like Godzilla is for you at all.
Right. I mean, like if you haven't watched those episodes, there's some passionate Godzilla lizard and monkey talk that goes on in those episodes. So go back and listen to those.
Also, to go back on your Shang-Chi thing, there's one thing I did want to mention. One, it was number six on my list.
Okay.
Two, there was one thing that really bothered me throughout this movie. besides the third act big monster fight?
Mm-hmm.
The costumes.
I liked them.
Really, for me, they felt very unimaginative and dull. And just, it wasn't anything I would get excited about seeing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against an update. Outside of
Death Dealer. I love Death Dealer's suit.
Death Dealer is so comic accurate. His suit was very comic accurate. But no, I wouldn't be against a rechange for the outfits. But I thought they were fine.
I think we will, because in the recent runs of Shang-Chi that they revived, he's got a different, more Shaolin warrior look to him.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is because they're adapting this new style in the comics, it's something we're going to end up getting in the movies.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
So what was your number three?
Well, number three was Kong vs. Godzilla, so you're number three.
Oh, you're right. For me, it was Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For all the reasons we've already talked about, it was a great movie, but it had many a plot hole. And I think after the theater experience winding down from it and really just marinating on it, I started to enjoy it a little less than my initial watch.
Okay, that's fair.
But it's still a movie I really enjoy and definitely was one of the best this year for me.
Yeah, totally.
What about your number two?
Number two, we're not going to talk about it too much because it was already on your list, but it is The Suicide Squad is my number two.
Nice.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, fun movie experience. I loved all the characters. James Gunn's style just exploded on the screen. It was very fun, very colorful. All like it shows you that you can do Starro and dumb things, and it works.
Yes.
It works.
You can have dumb comic accurate costumes and still make it work.
Exactly.
We got a live action show about, man, people.
Yeah, like Pete Davidson gets shot in the face. Anyway.
My favorite thing about this was having such C and D list characters run the film like they're A-listers.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Like, they totally, because, like, we all thought they were going to die at some point, but literally in the first 5 minutes, they're all dead.
I just want to point out, I only got one wrong in my death prediction for Survivor.
Yes, I was, well, yeah, I was with you.
I just literally was watching the movie, and I'm like, oh, he's dead. Oh, he's dead. Watching the after credit scenes. Oh, I was right.
Yeah, well, it was Boomerang was the only one you got wrong, right?
I did not have Boomerang on my list.
Okay, all right. My all list right, what was your...
Peacemaker, mm-hmm. Rick Flag, Harley Quinn, Bloodsport, and Weasel.
Okay, so Rick Flag was the only one you got wrong.
And I thought I got Peacemaker and Weasel wrong, but they were revived by the end of the movie.
They were. All right, talk about your number two.
Number two was on your list a little back, though. But my number two, and I know you're surprised I probably like this more than Spider-Man, but Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I'm not surprised. I was actually expecting that number one for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The hype I had going into this film was hype I haven't had in quite some time, and it didn't disappoint in any way, shape, or form.
No, I'm not objecting you. It was very fun, and I can see why you'd put it that high. It was a celebration.
Giving us new, enjoyable characters, celebrating the original team, and even Egon in a very respectful way, to really showing that it is a generational film from start to finish, from it being the original Ghostbuster creator's son, Ivan Reitman's the original. Mm-hmm. The new guy was Jason Reitman.
Jason, yeah.
And I felt like every big, like, what you'd expect to be the cinematic reveal moment to give us nostalgia, they weren't. They were built up like they were gonna be, and then they shut it down quick and just did it. And I absolutely adored that.
Totally.
The only thing I did not like about this film was the actress for Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like she was all that great of an actress.
I just thought the whole... film, at least, subplot. The whole Finn Wolfhard subplot was just there.
It went from Ghostbusters to indie love movie.
It really did.
But all around, it was still a near-perfect movie for me, especially if you're going to continue the story.
Yeah.
And I think they did great at reviving Gozer. I love that we got Zool and Vince Clortho back, and when they could, they puppeteered it again.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, how can you not talk about our boy Paul Rudd?
You mean Gary Gooberson?
Gary Gooberson.
He, once again, great as always. Is there even a bad Paul Rudd role out there? Because I don't think so.
No.
We can't forget about our girl Proxima Midnight.
Yes, who played...
the mom.
The mom, yeah.
But yeah, all around, Ghostbusters Afterlife was everything I wanted it to be and more.
Okay, number one, drum roll, please.
Oh, wait, real quick. I forgot to also mention, they totally trashed the 2016 film in the movie itself and continue acting like it doesn't exist. And that was my favorite joke of all.
Yeah. Before I do number one, I'm just going to list off a bunch of honorable mentions. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, we're not going to go into detail. I'm just going to say these movies I saw this year and I enjoyed, but they didn't make my list, mostly because this is a pop culture show, and most of these movies are not pop culture related.
It's a movie, it's pop culture.
That's true. But The Last Duel, Cherry, Free Guy, Old, Antlers, Spiral, Willy's Wonderland, Ryan the Last Dragon, and Mitchells versus the Machines.
All right.
And then the real number one, best movie of the year, but I'm not going to put it on here because I'm not going to count it because it technically came out back in 2017, Snyder Cut. It's the real best movie.
Nope, you can absolutely count it.
Okay, well, if I can, then I'm going to count the Snyder Cut, but actually the official favorite movie for me is probably what you're thinking because I haven't said it yet. It's Spider-Man.
I had a gut feeling.
You had a gut feeling?
Toby.
No,
you're too in love with Tobey Maguire for it to not be.
Of course, of course. And I think they did my boy all the respect in the world. But the main reason I'm really doing this overall is because similar to Avengers Endgame, even though Avengers Endgame might not be my favorite Marvel movie, I see it as like an accomplishment as a film. I see it as like a celebration of a movie.
Yes.
So, yeah, I look at it as like all it achieved. And so I think like it did so much for the character of Spider-Man. It was a celebration of the character of Spider-Man. So I got to put it at number one.
I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can guess my number one.
Probably not, because I was really banking on Ghostbusters, so you're going to surprise me.
The Mitchells versus the Machines.
There you go. Okay, and that was an honorable mention for me. It was a good movie.
Dude, they do it again. This directing duo does not disappoint.
Thank you, Lord and Miller.
Lord and Miller is just beautiful. From 21 and 22 Jump Street. The Lego movie. And now this?
And Spider-Verse.
Well, they were producers. They did not direct.
Oh, okay.
But, oh my goodness.
It was a good movie. Very good movie.
Animation, gorgeous and stylized. Comedy, on point.
On point.
Being actually, like, feeling like it can withstand the test of time, nailed it.
It was like a Pixar movie.
While still being a joke about how we should not trust big tech companies. Beautifully done.
Great.
While sending homage to past apocalyptic films, both normal apocalyptic films and technological. There's nothing about this movie I dislike.
No, I could totally, I'm every year, like not every year because they don't put something out every year, but every time Lord Miller I'm working on a project, I'm there. Sorry about Han Solo.
Although there is a Lord and Miller movie I have not watched all the way through yet.
What's that?
It came out last year as well. It's called America the Motion Picture.
Oh, okay. Well.
It's an animated film starring Channing Tatum as George Washington. It is balls to the walls weird. And the reason I haven't finished it is I do have to take medicinal edibles. So medicinal marijuana, you know.
Yeah.
I had taken one and knowing I was going to relax, I normally put a movie on. I put this on, and I've never had so much anxiety while under the influence like that.
Yeah.
Until Benedict Arnold turned into a werewolf and started biting off Abraham Lincoln's arm.
Okay, I might have to check it out then.
I was like, I think I need to watch this when I'm in the right mindset.
Probably.
And not when I'm like this.
I'm going to name off some movies I wish I would have watched this year.
Well, real quick, I want to give a couple of my honorable mentions.
Okay, yeah, shoot him.
My honorable mentions consist of Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, Encanto, Free Guy, Raya and the Last Dragon, Batman: The Long Halloween, Part 1 and 2, Mortal Kombat Legends, Battle of the Five Realms, or Battle of the Realms,
right,
and Kong vs. Godzilla.
Solid.
Yeah,
real quick, I'm going to give you some absolute trash that came out this year before I get into ones that Fast and Furious 9, Black Widow, Halloween Kills, Injustice, Space Jam, Tom and Jerry. Absolute trash.
Okay.
Movies I wish I would have seen. Oh, okay, yeah, give me your garbage.
Oh, you're going to be so mad at me, my guy.
Okay.
So at the bottom of the list is a movie called I Care a Lot. It was about Rosamund Pike playing a basically grifter nursing old home lady.
Okay.
She basically steals from them, but she gets involved with the wrong woman when her son is the leader of the Russian mafia.
I think we talked about this movie on
the show. Played by Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, we definitely talked about this movie on the show.
It was hot garbage stacked on top of hot garbage with a mixture of hot garbage.
I understand.
After that, I've got to give it to Zack Snyder's Justice League for me. You and I are definitely at two completely ends of the spectrum here. Can
That's
I understand
fine.
And respect why people love this movie if they like Zack Snyder's style? 100%, and I will not take that away from them. Mm. But considering I don't like Zack Snyder's style like you do, and feeling as though this is just an elongated version of Joss Whedon's with a couple of story fixes, it wasn't my cup of tea. I did not enjoy it. I felt like it. I just didn't like it, like everyone else did, and that's okay if you did like
totally.
It. I'm not here to trash you.
Okay.
Then Chaos Walking.
Okay, Chaos Walking. Oh, wow.
And Batman: Soul of the Dragon.
Oh, I still need to watch that.
Along with He's All That and Mortal Kombat.
I like how you have Mortal Kombat, the animated one, better than the live-action one.
Well, if they stopped making these animated films better than the live-action, we
That's
wouldn't
true.
Be here.
Okay, so things I wish I would have watched. Tick, Tick, Boom. Last Night in Soho. The Green Knight. French Dispatch. Val, the Val Kilmer movie. Candyman. Escape Room 2. Tomorrow War, and Nobody.
See, I only had one film on my anticipated list that I missed. And thankfully, it is coming to Hulu in February, but that is The King's Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I haven't watched that.
That is my only one I felt like I missed.
Yeah, me too. I need to watch that. TV shows.
Top three, what you got?
Okay, I'm just gonna rattle off my top three because I don't have as much to talk about with them. Superman and Lois to me is still the best current superhero TV show on TV. That's number three. Number two is my favorite Marvel TV show of the year, which is Falcon the Winter Soldier. And then my number one favorite show of the year, once again, it's all three were superhero TV shows, but this one by far is the best. It's Invincible is the best TV show.
All right, so let me see when this show was made real quick, and it might change my number three.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So number three for me is a tie between The Nevers from HBO and Home Economics, which is a comedy.
Oh, okay.
To me, they are both on equal footing in completely different areas. Home Economics
right.
never fails to make me laugh with a great cast of characters, while also making fun of the world we're in today, without feeling biased.
Mm-hmm.
The Nevers is just a beautifully written story that feels like Victorian X-Men on steroids.
I got it on my list. I need to watch it, I know.
It's so good. Number two for me is Invincible.
Yeah.
For all the reasons everyone's raved about this series. I've
mm-hmm.
never felt so hopeful and depressed at the same time while watching a show. And number one for me is Arcane.
Gosh, I didn't even have that on the list of things I need to watch.
Oh, my God. Best animation I've seen in forever. Great storytelling, great visuals, great music, great voice acting. There isn't a thing I dislike about this show.
I'm just glad to see on the bright side, neither of us have Squid Game.
I don't hate myself.
That's true.
No, Squid Game was well done, but it's nowhere near a favorite.
Yeah, totally.
For me, though, with Arcane, there is one thing I guess I did not like. The first half of the first episode, Asher and I started it and we're like, well, we've seen this 1,000 times over. The ragtag group of misfit orphan kids, they're thieves, rada, rada, rada. It switched up fast. We called it quits a little too early and then went back to it for craps and giggles, and we did not regret it from there on.
I know. I'll definitely watch it. I will make it announced in the podcast by the time I watch it.
I'm excited for when you do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, visually, it is going to be one of the most stunning shows you watch.
Real quick, I'll just say some other ones. Honorable mentions, WandaVision, Bad Batch, Squid Game, Witcher Season 2.
Nice.
And then things I need to watch, Pacific Rim, whatever that subtitle is. The Nevers, Cowboy Bebop, and now Arcane.
Alrighty. For my need to watch, I would say The Witcher altogether. It's on my list. Cowboy Bebop, I started the anime and was loving it, and it makes me worried about the actual show, so I don't know if I'll watch that.
If you're enjoying the anime, stay away from the live action.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Young Justice, once again, bomb season. Trying to think of what else I need to watch, though, that I've been wanting to get into besides The Witcher. I don't think there's anything. So, yeah, what are your worst shows that you saw?
Worst shows, hot garbage. The last few episodes of Game of Thrones. No, I'm kidding.
That wasn't even 2021.
I know, but I finally watched it.
That's fair.
Can I say The Flash? No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Flash turned into hot garbage. I don't know if there's anything, like, real terrible on TV I watched. I don't think there was anything that bad I've seen. That, like, stuck with me. Is there anything that, like, hit you that's, like, that's terrible?
Right now, I mean, it started in 2021.
Oh my god, you're gonna say Book of Boba.
I'm sorry, they're not doing well for me right now.
That's fine.
I want it to improve, and I want it to be better than The Bad Batch, but right now, I take The Bad Batch.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a better show.
For my thing right now is, and I know we'll get into it, but I just feel like they're spending too much time pulling the story backwards than moving forward.
I think they're done moving backwards, I think.
I think so, too, after this last episode they released today.
Yeah.
So, all around, what are some things you were looking forward to in this coming year? Well, the year we're in now, 2022.
I thought we could actually spend next week's episode just doing a whole episode on going through what comes out this year.
I am done with that.
Okay, cool. Cool. Because there's a lot. There's a whole year of crap we need to talk about, TV show and movie-wise. So.
Yes. So, all around, now it is time for our recommendations.
So, I'm just going to say one...
Movie, TV, book/comic.
I'm just going to say one thing that kind of incorporates, like, the two things, but... Because I watched a movie with my buddies the other night called 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
Which is a vampire movie from, like, 2007, and this ain't your sexy vampires from Twilight. This is a really good vampire movie that takes place in Alaska about the time of the year in real life where, like, 30 days of just straight no sun in Alaska, and so, like, a small Alaskan town gets ravaged by vampires for 30 days.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's based off a graphic novel, so now I'm going to say I want to read that book because the art looks really cool. So, there we go.
Alrighty. Any shows?
Like I said, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I'm actually just finished The Witcher Season 2, and it's worth your time.
Heck yeah. For me, movie, I would have to give a shout-out to the classic 2007 TMNT film.
Okay.
The CG.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's good, the Chris Evans one.
Oh, yeah. For TV shows, The Nevers.
The Nevers.
For book, I just finished Mr. Miracle.
Oh.
By Tom King. Good God, it was so good, but so depressing.
That's what I've heard.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, I'll get in. The art's pretty good, too.
The art's awesome, and I don't think I would have liked the art if it wasn't for the way the story was.
Mm-hmm.
But from there on, I can say we're excited to see what 2022 holds for us.
We really know
some we can get excited for. And we will be talking more about it next week.
Yeah,
as you can go back for another episode of The Heralds. But until then,
make sure you listen.
Stay geeky.
Thanks for listening, guys.